Yes.
Sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is on, and I'm always happy when he is. Sandy, I've been trying to move on from this topic, man, but I just can't. You know, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the fact that our government, you know, Tom from L.A. always says, we the people are the government, and he's right. And yet it appears as though nobody's hearing what we the people want, are saying. And so I was asking, talking with Sandy during the break, about whoever it is who controls the things that Sandy has been talking about, our government, for the past couple segments. Nobody's going to be able to stop the military expenditures. And as they talk about a new Cold War, only the oldest Americans have memories of the 1930s when German and Japanese power threatened war in both Europe and the Pacific. In those years, Americans well recalled the earlier Great War and wanted no repeat of it. Isolationism was strong, and the Roosevelt administration tried carefully in building America's defense and offering help to allies. Even when the war began in Europe in 1939, Americans stood back until it was directly attacked. Coming decades may resemble the 1930s more than any other period since. Sandy, what they're saying is we're going back to a really extreme major buildup. And you stated before we went to break, or during the break, who are we building all of these weapons for?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, that a lot of what we do is designed in people's minds to our defense budget to keep America safe. And then I said, well, safe from what? And we have to think about that, because we're kind of persuaded that somehow America is in peril enough that we need to maintain a huge military budget sufficient to carry on wars on three fronts. Now, it is true we're a great power, and it is true that having the European Union be a freestanding entity with its freestanding countries is important. And so that is important enough for us to vest ourselves into the military defense of those places should they be put at risk. How realistic is that risk? Well, when with NATO and with the United NATO, the risk of an actual invasion of a NATO country is very, very low, very low. And you'd have to ask yourself, why would, for instance, Russia, who's perceived to be the potential aggressor, why would they do that? And why would they risk all of themselves, not just their national treasure, to make that invasion? So you start looking at probabilities, and then you begin to ask yourself why it is that, and one of the reasons that Europe has not armed itself to the extent it has is because we volunteered to be in charge of NATO. We volunteered to arm NATO. We wanted to do that. We wanted to do it for our own reasons in the 50s, and we wanted to do it because that would put us in significant control of the NATO policies, and it would keep any country in Europe from becoming strong like Germany did before World War II. So, you know, we've set the table for all of this, and now we need to figure out why we've done it, and we need to talk about it, and we don't.
You know, Sandy, Russia is a prime example. You know, they're fighting the war in Ukraine, but there's a war going on inside of Russia right now that we're not seeing, we're not hearing. The Russian people are saying enough already. You know, why are we struggling with that same kind of mentality that you just pointed out, Sandy, that's happening in our country? The Russian people could care less about, you know, what's happening in our country and others. They're just trying to live their lives. And here they are now being impacted in many different ways, their daily lives have been turned inside out and upside down. And yet Putin wants to rally them, rah, 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 sis, boom, bah, we got to get this done. And those people are saying, why do we do this? You know, was this worth my life being totally changed? They can't say it much, but even knowing the risk that they face, Sandy, with pushing back on their government, they're starting to do that more and more. And so Putin, again, is from that old era that you and I are talking about that has to change, has to, you know, we're headed towards a whole new reality. They're talking about what's happening at the space station. You know, I don't know what's up at the space station and you know, but certainly that's a new frontier that people are spending money and talking about. It's a whole new reality. But to continue to do what is happening now and taking place now, all those things have to change, Sandy. I just don't know, excuse me, if you're my generation has the ability to change it.
Well, in fact, a couple of shows ago, and I've been thinking about sort of a theme of the concept of patriotism and how do we define who a patriot is and what does a patriot have to believe and espouse and do to personify patriotism. And it's a very thorny problem because patriotism is much like faith in a religion. You embrace something as a matter of commitment and belief, and it begins to dictate and becomes very important. You have to be a patriot in the United States to run for office, to hold your head up in society, to avoid ostracism. That same thing exists in Russia. And patriotism is important in a country that's proud of itself and requires pride and commitment of people who are functionaries. That's true in the United States. It's very true in Russia. And so what we're seeing in Russia is this, and there's a great deal of discussion now in Russia by the leadership of Russia about patriotism, just like we have in the United States. We have people who are in Congress and people are actually attacked for not being patriotic in when they express a critical view of something. And that same thing is happening in Russia. And in a time of war, of course, it becomes the test for patriotism becomes much stricter and much more rigorous. And so now, you know, the problems in Russia are becoming strident. And in the United States, I think we need to figure out how to harness this so that we don't get carried away by the notion of patriotism that requires that people be committed to national policies with which they had nothing to do in the formation of. Our foreign policy is created in the dark, and then we are presented with it, and we're basically told subconsciously, at least by the way we've operated in our country, that you must cheer for and support these foreign policies, lest you be deemed unpatriotic.
You know, Sandy, we don't know anything about our foreign policy. Young men and young women are sent to fight in wars halfway around the world, and it's under the guise of patriotism. You know, the same argument I remember when Barack Obama initially didn't have a miniature flag on his lapel. And man, it led to all kinds of arguments that he was not a patriot because he didn't wear the miniature flag on the lapel of his sports coat. And that got a lot of mileage. And when Obama realized that it was not even worth the battle, he finally put the little flag on his lapel. But that's the kind of foolishness we're talking about. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams is on the line. We'll be right back.
Just to make this dock my home, now I'm just going to sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll.